that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see that life is...
Chapter 9. There are fingers in his hair, a soothing, hypnotic stroke that never falters, just keeps going. A softish bed beneath him, the best meal he's ever had in his stomach. And Fox doesn't think he's ever been this content in his entire life. "You have amazing hands," he tells Mace, almost drunk with the drag of fingers across his scalp. And sighs as a thumb sweeps across what he hadn't even realized was a little tight. The press of Mace's clever fingers drags out the tension, smooths it down until it's gone, and Fox feels like he could melt right there, his head in Mace's lap, Mace in his bunk, and never reform again. Mace snorts quietly. His other hand is tangled with Fox's, not letting go, not wavering. His long legs are stretched out, bare feet dangling off the side of Fox's bunk, and the barracks are all temperature controlled, run colder than Fox likes when he's out of armor. But Mace is warm, warm in the same way as a particularly thick blanket or a lounging pile of vode. And Fox feels like he's wrapped up in it, surrounded by it. "That," he says, "isn't something I've heard before." "Idiots," Fox says, because it's true. They're all idiots. He groans as Mace's fingers dig in lightly, curl outward in firm, soothing circles across his scalp, and shivers when bright dark sparks behind his eyelids slide into a pleasant, bone-deep hum. "Criff!" Mace sweeps a thumb over his brow, right at the hairline. "Depa used to get headaches from having her hair in heavy braids for so long. I'm glad I haven't forgotten how to do this." "I want to pay you to do this for the rest of my life," Fox says blearily, and it's only now that he realizes the headache is fully, completely gone. The stress of Anakin and remembered broken necks and no one realizing what Palpatine was doing is fully gone, and he's perfectly, deeply relaxed. A press, firm, right at the base of his skull, and Fox groans as Mace's fingers dig into muscle, tease out the knot there. He curls a hand around Mace's knee, clutching as Mace works out what feels like years of tension, and says, "I'm going to give you the best blowjob of your existence as soon as I can feel my toes again." Mace snorts, but his hand smooths gently over Fox's forehead again. "I'll look forward to it," he says gravely. "You think I'm joking, but I'm not," Fox tells him, vaguely threatening. Well, as threatening as he can be with all of his bones melted into goo. "Been planning it, been strategizing. I'm gonna blow you, and then I'm gonna get you hard again, kissing every damn inch of you. Your criffing beautiful hands first, then your pretty throat, then your carking thighs." Mace's breath is rough, and he pauses, almost falters for a second, before the massage continues. "You've thought about it," he says. Fox snorts, opening his eyes and looking up at Mace's face. "Yeah," he says, and it's an effort, but he drags their tangled hands up, kisses Mace's knuckles, letting his mouth linger. "So criffing much. Thought about everything I want to do to you and have you do to me." Mace's eyes are dark, and he's watching Fox like Fox is the only thing that's ever had his attention, that ever could have his attention. There's no disbelief, no withdrawal or doubt, but he carefully, lightly brushes his thumb over Fox's cheek. "I believe," he says quietly, "that I have some catching up to do." Just the idea of Mace thinking about him like that makes heat curl through Fox's veins, lazy and languid. He hums, turning his head to press a kiss to Mace's thigh, and Mace believes him. He's not writing it off as Fox being crazy or pinning it on the psych leave. He believes that Fox feels something for him, and the sheer relief of that isn't something Fox had realized he was looking for. But it hits him all the same. "We can play catch-up together," he says, low, and reaches up. Mace bends forward, and Fox grips the back of his neck, feels the way that makes him shiver, and smiles, sly, as Mace leans in. The bunkroom door bangs open, and Mace freezes. Fox does too, and opens his eyes with a murderous rage brewing as Thorn groans. Armor clatters, and Thier says, "Just filed it as a cold case. Do you think anyone would notice?" Mace sighs through his nose, and Fox stares at his perfect, cripping mouth from a bare handful of centimeters away, at the rueful slant to his gaze, and decides that he's going to murder everyone else in this room except for Mace. Gently, almost defiantly, Mace closes the last few centimeters, kissing Fox's forehead, and Fox groans just as light floods the room. At the same moment, Thorn's head appears at the foot of the bunk, and he freezes halfway up the ladder. His gaze slides from Mace to Fox and back again, eyes getting wider as they go, and then chokes out, "General?" The room goes dead quiet, and as one, Thier and Crow both turn to stare. "Criff off," Fox tells Thorn, and he doesn't regret their quiet dinner, but maybe he regrets not locking the door. Maybe he regrets that part deeply. Thorn makes a sound like he's halfway swallowed his tongue. "On my bed?" he demands, voice breaking unflatteringly high. Fox rolls his eyes. "I stole it. It's my bed now," he says, and deeply appreciates how Mace's fingers go back to lazily stroking through his hair again. "I can do whatever I want in it." "Don't you mean who?" Thier asks, then freezes, horror flashing across his face. "General Windu, sir, I'm so sorry." Mace snorts, gently pressing on Fox's shoulder, and Fox makes a deeply displeased sound, but rolls up, freeing him. "Perhaps next time," he tells Fox, "my quarters would be more appropriate." "Does the door lock?" Fox asks pointedly, and pegs Thorn in the center of his stupid face with a pillow, because he's still staring. "Indeed," Mace says, and slides down from the bunk, landing lightly and gracefully. Fox has never seen anyone get out of a bunk bed elegantly, but Mace defies physics and all logic. Even Deppa knows how to knock. "Criffing perfect," Fox says, and jumps down after him. He ignores the peanut gallery, stepping forward to catch Mace around the waist and draw him in. And when Mace settles against him, curls a hand around the vulnerable spot on Fox's neck, Fox leans in to press their foreheads together. "Thanks," he says, low, and means it with every fiber of his being. "My pleasure, Fox," Mace returns, equally soft. "Whenever you need a moment, my door is open for you." Fox breathes in, breathes out, thinks of Mace's unhesitating, "Everyone needs a moment to be less than steady at times," and closes his eyes. "I still want to fall asleep on top of you," he says, and ignores the way Thorn squawks in horror. Mace's amusement is a quiet thing, visible in the crinkle around his eyes more than anything. "I promised Senator Organa that I would inspect the tunnels beneath the Senate tonight to see if the Chancellor's killer went that way. But afterwards..." "Come back here," Fox tells him. "Then you don't have to make the trip back. And the tunnels..." Fox pauses, the thought striking him. The tunnels are connected to the Chancellor's office by way of the secret exit Fox used to kill him, actually. The passage goes straight down into the lower levels of Coruscant. If Fox were a megalomaniacal secret Sith who needed to set up a powerful ritual in a place he frequented, that's exactly where he would do it. Fox inspects those tunnels once a month, but Palpatine always met with him right before. He was a Sith. He could just make Fox think he'd checked the tunnels. Fox has seen Jedi pull the same trick on people they're trying to get around, and Palpatine had a lot fewer scruples than any Jedi alive, except maybe Skywalker. "You check the secret passage?" he asks, and Mace stops, startled. He meets Fox's eyes, and Fox grins all teeth. He'll have to be more careful, now that Mace and the others know about the passage, but... if they figure out what Palpatine was, it's worth it. "Escape route from the Chancellor's office. Thorn and Stone both have clearance to access it, too." There's a pause, and then Thorn says, bewildered, "I didn't even remember it existed. Commander, I didn't check it. I didn't even think." Mace's eyes narrow faintly, and he steps away, turns. Thorn is just sliding down to stand on the floor, his expression deeply bewildered, and Mace crosses the few steps to him. "Commander Thorn, may I?" he asks, raising a hand towards Thorn's face. "Of course, sir," Thorn says, but most of his attention is on Fox. "Fox, I swear I didn't even remember it existed." He sounds distressed, shaken, and Fox breathes in, approaches. He catches Thorn's shoulder just as Mace's fingertips settle lightly against Thorn's temple and says, brusquely, "Easy, Thorn. No one's supposed to know about it but us and the Chancellor." "It seems," Mace says quietly, "that someone has altered your memories, Commander. You couldn't remember the passage given their influence." "Bantha shit," Thorn says, chalk white, and slides down to sit on his bed, knotting his fingers in his hair as he tries to breathe. Someone took it from me, that information, and then they criffing used it to kill the Chancellor?" Mace sinks down on one knee in front of him, reaching out to lay a hand on Thorn's knee. "This isn't your doing, Commander," he says, steady. "Whatever was taken from you, it isn't something you willingly gave or could have stopped the Sith from taking. I'm simply glad they didn't kill you." "Head up," Fox tells him, and reaches out, tugging firmly at the messy bun Thorn keeps his hair in. "And if you're done moping, get up and go help Stone guard Senator Amidala. She just divorced Skywalker, and he was spitting mad about it." "She left him?" Thorn asks, startled, and glances up. Is she all right?" "A successful distraction," Fox thinks, amused. But then, Thorn would be distracted by anyone who handled a blaster like Padme. "Why don't you go find out, idiot?" Thorn pulls a face at him, but rises. "You're on leave. You can't order me around," he says. But he still grabs his helmet, his blaster, and hesitates. "General Windu, if you need help with the passage..." "I'll go with him," Fox tells him. "Get." "I'm getting," Thorn protests and pulls his helmet on as he heads for the door. It closes behind him with a quiet hiss, and Fox breathes out, looks at Mace as he rises. Mace meets his eyes, steady, and says, "You remember, Fox. Would you like me to check you anyway?" No, Fox says, because he knows precisely how Palpatine messed with his head. Want a squad? Mace shakes his head. I believe we'll move faster on our own, he says. Commander Thier, if you'll do something for me. Of course, sir, Thier says quickly. What is it? Go to the Jedi Temple and find Master Fae, Mace says. Have her return with you to check the guard for influence. Fox doesn't grin, but it's maybe a close thing. Between him taking Mace down into the tunnels and Fae having free rein to dig up all of Palpatine's manipulation in the guard, this is looking like the solution to a hell of a lot of his problems. Yes, sir, Thier says, relieved. Are you sure you don't want a squad, sir? Commander Fox is still technically on leave. If he can manage to hit Skywalker with a blaster, I assume he can manage perfectly well, Mace says, meeting Fox's gaze. There's something in his face, something thoughtful as he watches Fox, and he doesn't look away. Fox? I'd manage better with a lightsaber, Fox says, and Thier makes a sound of deep despair, even as Mace snorts. Something to address once we've trained together, he says, and Fox grins. I'm holding you to that, he says, before Kenobi needs to shave again, preferably. Mace's mouth curves, soft amusement and something warm, something that settles like realization as he considers Fox. I hope, he says, that isn't the only thing you'll hold me to. Fox loves this man. He really does. The sound of Thier choking in a horrified surprise is just the cherry on top.